Hallelujah. It's going to be about all I can do to preach this morning. About all I want to do this morning is just throw my hands back and say, hallelujah, God has been so good to me. Go ahead, Miss Sheila, brag on him a minute. Bless her, Lord. Amen. That's right. Yep. Yeah, amen, sis. Thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Miss Sheila. Ain't God good this morning? Amen. 1 Peter chapter number 3, one verse of scripture this morning. I had Brother Charles to sing or to lead us in the hymn, Our Great Savior. Our Great Savior. I like that word, our. Amen. I believe, Brother Todd, you can help me out. Brother Todd's got an education. I believe that is a possessive pronoun. Is that right? Y'all know what a possessive pronoun is? That's a word, when you say it, that means it belongs to you. Can I say that again? That's a word that when you use that word signifies that what you're about to say after that belongs to you, that you have ownership in. Amen? He is our great Savior. Amen? But then on the other hand, we are His children, and the sheep, the Bible said, of His pasture. Isn't that a blessing? He belongs to us. We belong to Him. Amen. You know what? That's just like a brother and sister. Amen. That's what that is. You say, I can't explain that. Yes, you can. Look around at your family. Amen. My wife belongs to me. Boy, it got quiet right there. My wife belongs to me. I own her as her husband. That's a hard pill for some, it seems, Brother Freddie. But wait a minute. I belong to her. She owns me, my body, that is, as my wife. So that's the way the relationship is with our great Savior. Amen. I don't think we could even scratch the surface if we took 1,000 years and preached on the greatness of our Savior every day. Somebody said, well, I would get tired of it if that's all you preached about. You don't know Him. Amen? Evidently, you don't know our great Savior. Our stories and sermons and songs about Him would never bore you. Somebody say amen right there. 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 16 this morning. One verse of scripture just for a few minutes, and I want to focus on this thing of our great Savior. The Bible said, are y'all looking at it? 1 Peter 3 and verse number 18. The Bible said, for Christ also hath once, say the next word with me, suffered. Now, we listen, stop a minute. We talk about suffering. We talk about Sister Ashley and the surgeries and the chemotherapy. We think about Tanner and the brain tumor and all the rehabilitation. And we think about grandmother that fell and broke her femur bone. And certainly we don't want to belittle the sufferings that we go through in this life, but none of our sufferings can even begin to compare with the suffering that Jesus suffered at Calvary. Amen. The Bible said, for Christ hath once, I'm glad it was just once, ain't you? I'm glad once was enough. The Bible said, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Hallelujah. One time was enough. For Christ also hath once suffered for, I know you don't like it, but say the next word real loud with me. Sins. We're going to get to that in just a minute. He said the just for the unjust. That was the trade. That he might bring us to God. That was the reason. Being put to death in the flesh. That was the man, Christ Jesus. But being quickened by the Spirit. That means raised again. That was the God, Christ Jesus. Amen. I want to talk about the greatness of our Savior for a few minutes. The Scripture can be so concise. It can wrap up the entire gospel in one verse. And this is not the only verse that does it, but I think this verse does it very well. We brag about Him a lot around here. I just turned 46 last Saturday. I don't know how many birthdays I've got left, but for however many there is, and as long as I am a senior pastor, if that's what you want to call it, of the Happy Valley Baptist Church, we're going to continue to brag on Him. Amen. You know why? Because there isn't anything else to brag about. Amen. We're thankful for Cody, and thank God we got men like that serving in our country. But if it wasn't for God, amen, if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't even have a saved young Marine sitting in our presence this morning. I like what he told his daddy, and I got this through third-hand information, so it may have changed a little bit, but he said something along the lines of, I've got God and an M16. And if God can't move it, I'll kill it. Hallelujah. I like that philosophy right there. Amen. We're thankful for all these things. The roof up above me. The shoes on my feet. The food on my table. All that good stuff. The good place to sleep. We're thankful for all these things. But outside of a great Savior, we would have nothing. What makes Him so great? What makes Jesus so great? Why do we brag about Jesus? Why have there been more songs written about Him than any man who has ever lived? Amen. There have been some great men in this world. There have been some great leaders in this world. But more songs, more stories, and more books have been written about this man than any man who ever lived in the past. Any man who ever lived in the present, or any man who will ever live in the future. Yeah. Libraries cannot contain the whole of what has been written about the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. What makes Him so great? Well, I believe one reason is He did something that no other man could do. Amen. Amen. He did something that no other man could do. I go through the library, or the, not the library, but the little store in the airport, the bookstores. They've got Hudson's Booksellers, I think that's what it's called. Anyway, I go through that in the airport and look and see if there's something I might like to read. And you'll go through there and there'll be a biography. I saw a biography about George W. Bush. I saw his life story. I saw Bill Clinton's life story. And I saw Barack Obama's story and different ones. And down through the ages, several of them. I love reading about General Patton. I love reading about MacArthur and some of these great men. But anything any of these men have done has been equaled. Are you listening? Anything any of these men have done has been equaled or surpassed. But no man can compare You know what they do with Jesus? They don't put him, Brother Todd, in the biography section. They don't put him in the fiction section. They don't even put him in the history section. He has his own. Amen. You go down to Mall. You go down to Mall. What's the name of that place when you go in on the right? Borders Books. You go in there and you tell them, I need to find a book about Jesus. Well, it'll be in his section. It'll say religious section. And that's this world's terminology for books about Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. He's got his own spot. Why? Because he's so great that he cannot sit with the other great men. He's so great that he cannot be compiled with the other greats of our history and our world. He has to have his own place. And by the way, physically he has his own place this morning. And it's at the right hand of God. He did something that no other man could do. But he also did something that no other man would do. Can I say it again? Not only did he do something that no other man could do, but he did something that no other man would do. Nobody could do or would do what Christ has done for you. Can I get a witness? Somebody help me this morning. Amen. I'm used to not hearing no amens this week. I want to hear it this morning. I said, he not only did what no other man could do, but he did what no other man would do. Amen. They sang that song a while ago, My Lord Loves Me. Amen. He loves you when nobody else will love you. He loves you when you're unlovable. He wants you when you're unwantable. Amen. He wants to touch you when you're untouchable. He wants to make you worthy when you're unworthy. I said he did what no other man would do.
Amen.
Amen. While we were yet sinners, the Bible said, Christ died for us. I want us to look just a minute at the greatness of our Savior this morning. In the first part of our verse, I want you to notice the suffering of Christ. The Bible said, for Christ also hath once suffered. Do you know that he prophesied over and over that the Son of Man must suffer? Oh, how horrible it was what they did to Jesus. Yes, but that's why he came. Do you understand that? Calvary had to be. For you and I to be reconciled unto God, Calvary had to be. You say, Christ died for me because he loved me. Yes, he did. Christ died for me because he wanted me to go to heaven when I died. Yes, he did. But let's get the ultimate reason here. The Bible said Christ also hath once suffered for what?
Sins.
You understand that? I don't think our sins bother us enough anymore. What caused the suffering at Calvary was not your name. What caused the suffering at Calvary was not your mortal being. But what caused the suffering at Calvary was your sin. The Bible said your sin and your iniquities have separated between you and your God. The Bible still says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You see, we had a curse on us. And that curse was sin from our father Adam in the Garden of Eden. Amen. And Adam passed that on to every one of us. Let me tell you something this morning. You may be visiting with us this morning. You may not like this vernacular or this language or this terminology, but friend, you're a sinner.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I know we're living in a society when the great preachers of our time would not dare say that. Why? Because they're afraid they'll offend you and you won't come back and you won't swipe your debit card in their ATM machine. Well, listen, I don't give a good rip this morning. I want you to know the truth of what the Bible said this morning. That is the fact that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, the problem with a TV preacher is just simply this. He don't love you. Let me say it again. He don't love you. Can I prove it to you? Call Joel Osteen when your baby's sick.
Yeah.
Call Mr. Hen when you're in trouble. We all right this morning? I may not be much, but I've got backbone enough to tell you the reason for Christ suffering was my sin, and the reason for Christ suffering was your sin. Why should our sin bother us? It put Jesus on Calvary. Amen. It put Jesus on Calvary. Amen. Sin's still sin. And I know the great preacher sat on Larry King and said, well, Larry, we just don't use that word. Why not? We don't want to see reality. We want to see the good in ourselves and not the cancer that lies beneath. Sin is a cancer. Sin is a disease. Sin is a sickness. And it ought to be labeled for what it is. It's sin. We okay? After we're saved, we ought to have a desire to be sinless. We should. We should. How many of you sinless? Raise your hand. About what I thought. Amen. That's why my favorite song is He's Still Working on Me. To make me what I ought to be. Took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun, the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. Because He's still working on me. Did you know He in my flesh, Brother Todd, He's still having to deal with what He died for? Let me say that again. In my flesh, even though I'm saved and on my way to heaven when I die, if I drop graveyard dead right now before this body lumps up on the floor, this spirit and this soul will be in the presence of God. As sure as I, good God, somebody ought to help me. Just as sure as I stand here this morning, that's how saved I am. But yet in this flesh, I am still a sinner. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Now let me ask you a question. Now just stay with me for a minute and we'll move on. If sin put Christ on the cross, if it was sin that beat the crown of thorns into His brow, if it was sin that drove the spikes through His hands and His feet, if it was sin that caused the cat of nine tails to rip His guts out of His back, if it was sin that thrust a sword through His side, are you listening to me? If it was sin that caused Him to be beaten to where He was not even recognizable, do you think sin still bothers Him today?
Amen. Amen.
Do you think whatever it is you're fooling around with and playing with still bothers Him today? I wonder sometimes as Christians if God doesn't look at us and say, my soul, I took care of that for you at Calvary. I suffered and bled and died for that. Why are you picking it up now? I believe it still bothers Him. I believe it still grieves the heart of God. In a sense, I know I'm not taking the Scripture out of context. He said He had once suffered. He'll never go back to Calvary. But I believe His heart still breaks. I believe His heart still breaks over His people. What's keeping us from real old-fashioned revival? Can I just tell you? Sin. Well, it's just division in the churches. No, it's sin.
Yeah. Go ahead, preacher.
It's sin. Well, it's gossip and Facebook. No, it's sin.
Yes. Amen.
Well, it's methamphetamines. No, it's sin. Well, it's alcohol. No, it's sin. It's homosexuality. No, it's sin. It's adultery. No, it's sin. My sin, your sin, can hinder the mighty hand of God from moving. Have you ever stopped and thought, I'm the reason that God's not doing something? When are you going to take ownership of this thing? Watch it get quiet in here. The nation of Israel crossed into the promised land. God gave them one command. Do not take of the spoils of the land. He said, go over there and kill everybody that's standing. Wipe them out. But don't take none of their stuff.
Yeah.
One man out of a nation of people, Brother Freddie, one man thought nobody will know.
Yeah,
what is a little gold and a little silver and some clothes amongst all this?
Amen.
You know what it was? It was enough.
Yes, sir. That's right. Yeah. Amen.
It was enough to hinder the work of God in their lives. And it's enough for God to be hindered in the work among us and in our church.
Yes.
Preacher, are you picking on me? No, I'm picking on me. And while I'm picking on me, I'm sure it's hitting you right flat between the eyes. Amen? It's a harsh reality. We sit in church and we hear the pastor preach on the sin in our lives, and we sit there like good little Baptists and nod our heads. We're like a chicken pecking corn. Let me ask you a question. If you walked into the hospital in the morning and the doctor sat down on the edge of your bed and said, it's hard to give you this, but you have cancer. It's progressive. Is that what you'd do? Come on. Is that how you would respond? Bless him, Lord. No, it would tear you a new one. Why? Because it got so personal. It's not Ashley anymore that we can pray for. It's not Tanner anymore that we can pray for. But the doctor brings it right down here and makes it personal. And you finally say, oh God, it's me.
Yeah, that's good, bro. That's good.
Will sin ever affect us that way? For Christ suffered once for sins. We shouldn't be shouting this morning. Not on this particular point right here. Why? Because we're all guilty. There is a remedy. It's called repentance. When we think of sin, and I mention sin, we think of gross things. Sexual pervertedness. Alcoholism. Drugs. Right? Pornography. What about bitterness? What about gossip and a lying tongue? Unforgiveness, malice, anger, wrath. Somebody said, preacher, they said, I've got to take anger management classes. No, you need to have some repentance classes and get right with God and get that sin under the blood of Calvary. That's what he died for, that you may not have to bear the reproach of it. Amen. We don't preach like this so much on Sunday morning. You just buckle your seatbelt. Amen. So you're a mean preacher. I know, because I'm preaching to me and I need it. And I know because I'm preaching to you and you need it. I'm preaching to Stacy and God knows. Sure. Even Stacy will say amen right there. And Rusty will say amen right there. Huh? Stacy made a statement the other day. I may never get past. I got 5 points this morning. Don't have a heart attack. I'm going to preach through this verse if God will let me. Stacy made a statement the other day, and we laughed about it because it was funny. But, brother, that thing has weighed on me and weighed on me and weighed on me. He said, I have a hard time separating the new Eddie from the old Eddie. Me too. Are you listening? We grew up together. He knew me when I was lost.
Yeah.
He's been in church since Brother Jay died. He came to Brother Jay's funeral. Brother Stacy's been here ever since.
Yeah.
And he's my dear friend. But see, he knew more of me then than he knows of me now. We just got reacquainted after years in the funeral home. I walked up and started talking to him. He didn't know who I was. That's funny. I recognized him, but he didn't me. I'm basically the same weight and still have all my hair. But he knows more about my past than he does my present. But here's the fact. My past and my present are totally different. We have a hard time separating the spirit from the flesh, but if we're saved, the fact is we are a new creature. Why? Because Christ has once suffered for sin. And we need not be subject unto it anymore. Why? Because He's already handled it. He's already handled it. He's handled your addiction. He's handled your lust. He's handled your envy. He's handled your strife. He's took care of it all. Here's our problem. You ever had a baby? Toddler poke something in his mouth? And you go, what have you got in your mouth? And they go lockjaw on you. Yep. And you're having to pry their teeth open and dig down their throat, try to grab whatever it is. It's the way we are with our sin. God said, hey, I took care of that for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad God forgave me of my sin. Well, when you going to turn it loose? When are we going to let go of it? If we can sing, thank God I'm free, free, free from this world of sin. Are you? Spiritually, you are. But physically, when will we let go? Oh. The suffering of Christ. We need to get where the rubber meets the road and realize why He died. He didn't just die because He loved us. That's an afterthought. He died because we're sinners. He died because we're sinners. Father, if it be Thy will, I pray Thee, let this cup pass from me. What cup? The cup of sin. Cup of suffering. And the cup of shame. What did He see in that cup in the Garden of Gethsemane? He saw my sin, and He saw your sin, and He saw the sin of the world. That's why He suffered. We okay this morning? Come on, talk to me. The suffering of Christ. And then in our verse, we see the sanctity of Christ. Watch what He said. The just. Do you understand that? Do you know what it means to be just? The just for who? There's a trade going on in here now. Brother Robert, talk to me. Brother Robert's a trader. They ain't no telling, ain't no telling. I couldn't even stand here right now and tell you what kind of vehicle he's driving. I don't know. He trades more than I change underwear. That's a God's truth. That's a trader right there. There's a trade going on. Now, I know Brother Robert. Love him. With all my heart, he's my friend. But what he's got is worth a fortune. And what you got ain't worth half what he's got. Amen. That's a good trader. Amen. Are you listening to me? Robert's turning red in the face. I'm just kidding. He won't rip you off too bad. Robert isn't. Now here's Christ. He's fixing to enter into a trade. Now literally watch what he says. What I've got is invaluable. What you've got is worth nothing. What I've got is perfect and just and holy. What you've got is unjust, imperfect, and unholy. But I'll swap you. How big a fool would I be? My wife has a 2000 Cadillac. If you own a Cadillac and your odometer says 100,000 miles, get rid of it. fast. It's in the shop right now. Brother Daniel said, if your wife don't get a tag, I'm giving her a ticket. So I went to get a tag. It won't pass. So it's in the shop. Again. Wouldn't it be something if I drove up to Capitol Cadillac on Highway 41? Lord, let them be listening this morning. And said, hey, how would you trade me on that brand new Cadillac for this wore out Cadillac that we had to push down here? How would you trade me? Well, ours is perfect and brand new. Yours is pretty shot out. We'll swap you even. We'll just throw keys with you. How about that? Let us think about it a little while. We're going to go home, pray about this thing, see if God's in it. Why, you out of your mind? I snatched a man's arm off. Give me them keys before you change your mind. Sign the paper. But yeah, here Christ is this morning. And he said, what I've got to offer you is just. What I've got to offer you is perfect and holy. And what I'm asking is return is the unholy, the profane, the wicked, your sin. Trade me. Trade me. Well, I'm just not ready. Are you nuts? The trade of a lifetime. Amen. Brother Earl Hughes said he knew he was getting a bum deal when he got me. Yeah. Amen, but he bought me anyway. Yes, the justness of Christ. Why was it he did what no other man could do? He was the only one qualified.
That's right.
He was the only one holy and just.
That's right.
Outside of him, there is none righteous, the Bible said. Amen. The suffering of Christ, the sanctity of Christ. Then there's the substitution of Christ, the just for the unjust. Hallelujah. I got ahead of myself, and I'll just jump that.
Yeah,
but the just for the unjust.
Yes, brother.
He gave what he had for what I had.
Yes, brother.
Just let that soak for a minute.
Yeah.
Don't jerk the water out, the sponge out the bucket before it gets full. Let that soak up in you this morning.
Amen.
Come on, listen to me. The just for the unjust. How am I?
Yes, brother.
The suffering of Christ, the sanctity of Christ, the substitution, and then there's the saving by Christ. He said in our text that he might, watch this, bring us to God. Are you all right?
Yeah.
The Bible said there's one mediator between man and God. And that's the man, Christ Jesus. He suffered and he died. This is what makes him a great Savior.
Amen.
Are you listening? We're living in a time when people love to hook people up. My wife does that. I wonder if so-and-so would be good for so-and-so. Leave it alone. No, but I think they would just leave it alone. Amen. We love to bring people together, don't we? And say, we did that. But a lot of times it doesn't end well. Amen. A lot of times we want to back off and say, oops, my bad. I didn't know they was going to kill one another. Come on, talk to me. But here's what God did. Here's what God's Son did. He said, there's a problem. Man has been separated from God. God's greatest love, the crown of his creation, man.
Amen.
And Christ said, I believe I can do something to bring them back together.
Yes, bro. Amen.
I will suffer for their sin.
Amen.
Sin cannot go unpunished.
Amen.
Do you understand that?
Amen.
What he said was, I'll take the punishment.
Amen.
I'll take their whipping. I'll take their suffering. I'll take their shame. I'll even dip into the depths of hell and take their torment.
Amen.
Why? That I might bring them together.
Yes.
You listening to me this morning? I'm glad Christ has brought us together.
Amen.
When I can justly bow my head and say, oh God, I have Christ to thank for that. When I can pray for Ashley when her body's sick, I have Christ to thank for that.
Amen.
When I can pray for little Tanner in the hospital, I have Christ to thank for that. Why? Because He brought me back to God. And only Him could do it. Amen. The substitution of Christ, the saving by Christ. Then there was the slaying of Christ. He said, being put to death in the flesh. Did you know God never died? But the man Christ Jesus was put to death in the flesh. Did you know He was as much God as He was man? Did you know He was as much man as He was God? Do you know that? God, John said, hath manifested Himself in the flesh. The Word, He said, became flesh and dwelt among us. He had to die. Why? For your sin and for my sin. He had to die. Why? That He might reconcile you back to God. That He might bring us back together. We ought to be happy about what our great, great Savior has done this morning. I give you this and I'm done. I'm glad it didn't end with the death of Christ. But we look at the very end of the Scripture and we see the survival of Christ. The Bible said He was quickened by the Spirit. Yes, He died. Yes, He was buried. Thank God He was raised again.
Yes, brother.
I love the way Brother Roger put it in the camp meeting. This same Jesus that you see taken away shall so come in like manner. He's alive and well this morning. Is He great enough a Savior for you this morning to cause you to be sorry for your sin? A lot of that depends on whether or not we have the right spirit. When Ashley was a little girl, I could say her name harshly. Ashley! And she would weep and cry. You know why? Her heart was tender. Her heart was tender. Oh, might we be tender toward God this morning. But yet I'm afraid a lot of times we're like Levi when he was a boy. And we have to yell and yell and yell and yell. And then sometimes even raise our hand and inflict pain to get their attention. Are you sorry this morning? I love the way a little baby does when you get on to, I'm sorry. And usually they genuinely are. When will we as Christians get back to the place where we're sorry for what put Him on Calvary? And that's our sin. He is a great Savior this morning. The just for the unjust. Look what He traded for you. Look what He traded for you. Don't you realize we're nothing? He's everything. And He was willing to give everything for nothing. Why? That we might be something in Him. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed just for a minute. Nobody looking around, Brother Todd, if y'all would come and get us a song this morning. Nobody looking around, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder this morning, do you know my great Savior? Do you know Him? If you died right now, are you sure heaven would be your home? Have you got that settled in your heart? Has there ever come a time or a place in your life where you became genuinely sorry for your sin and begged Christ to come into your heart and to forgive you? If not, this morning, I'd like to pray for you. They said, Brother Eddie, I don't want to die and go to hell. I'd sure love to get this settled in my heart. Please pray for me. I won't come to you or embarrass you, I promise. I just want to pray for you. If you'll just slip up your hand, say, Preacher, I'm not sure about my salvation. Please pray for me. Anybody, just slip up your hand this morning. Anybody. How about this morning? Preacher, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind. But I'm afraid I've reached a point where my sin don't bother me like it ought to. Preacher, pray I'd get back to the place where I'm genuinely sorry and beg God's forgiveness. How about it? Should be hands all over this building. God bless your heart. Thank you for your honesty. Let's pray together, Father, as we come to you again this morning in Jesus' dear sweet name. Father, please have your way in this altar call. God, you saw the hands. You know every heart. Have your way. Help us to realize what a great Savior we serve. Lord, what a great thing you did for us, that which no other man could do or would do. But, Lord, you did do, and we give you glory for it this morning. Give us victory over our sin. Lord, help us to be sorry for our sin. Lord, help us to love you like we ought to love you and live for you like we ought to live for you. God, give us victory over this old flesh. Father, we'll give you the glory, the honor for all you do, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.